Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you join me again as this week we're making our way through Romans 8. And as I shared yesterday, Romans 8, honestly, the whole chapter, but the big section that we're going through is really what I call an anchoring passage for me. It's one of those passages that I always go back to, and I can mine more out of the passage that honestly, no matter how much I read it, that the Holy Spirit is always revealing new things to me. And often I'll go back to it when I need a reminder about my identity, when I need a reminder about who I am in Christ, about what Christ has done for me and where he has brought me. And so I encouraged you yesterday, and I want to encourage you again, find your own anchor passages. John chapter 1 is another anchor passage for me. And part of the anchoring is, no matter where I've been, or if I had kind of a discouraging week and I had to go to confession, or I feel like I didn't pick up my Bible enough, or wherever I was, or I'm experiencing discouragement, these are passages I go back to that the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and I'm anchored in the reality beyond what I can see. And friends, we constantly need to be going back to God's reality. And so these passages and the passage that we're going through in Romans chapter 8, this has always rooted me in God's reality. And it's a way that the Holy Spirit speaks to me to say, this is who you are. This is who God is. This is where we're going. This is what I have done for you. So maybe Romans 8 becomes an anchor passage for you. Maybe John chapter 1, the reality of who Jesus is as the Word made flesh. Maybe it's the Psalms. There are some Psalms that I really love that I go back to often. So what are those for you? And write them down and read them often and even memorize some verses from those anchor passages. So as I said, we've been in Romans chapter 8, and I want to encourage you again, go listen to our episode from yesterday. We began by giving a little bit of background from Romans 7, you know, that famous line where Paul's like, why do I do what I don't want to do and I can't do what I want to do? Which is extremely relatable, I think, for every single one of us, kind of feeling the spirit of discouragement. And then in chapter 8, he starts off with this banger line, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we talked about, what does condemnation mean? It means like this judgment on us. This judgment, and sometimes we can feel shame, we can feel condemnation, and condemnation is always from the enemy. But we don't receive no condemnation because of our good deeds or because we've done such a great job and we clap for ourselves and we finally reach that bar of holiness, but because we are in Christ. It's an amazing place of security, an amazing place of power, an amazing place of identity for each and every one of us. So let's pray, and we're going to build on that, not being condemned in Christ Jesus. And what is Paul saying, and what does that mean? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that through your blood we are washed and we are found in you. That we are found in Christ, that through our baptism we've been baptized into your death and raised with you to new life. And so we are found in you. We ask that you would make this a deep reality for us today, that we would experience it, that we would come to know it beyond just an intellectual level, but that it would become a part of us, that we would be able to live from the reality that we don't have to be ashamed, we don't have to be condemned, we don't have to listen to the voice of the enemy telling us who we are, because we are found in Christ. And we ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So we did this yesterday, and because it's kind of a hefty set of verses that are pretty theologically dense, I'm going to read them all together again. And I want you to listen. I want you to let these sink into your hearts. Romans 8, 1 through 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm just going to read verse 9 really quickly. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Again, I know that's very theologically dense. And we began yesterday with Paul saying there is no condemnation, this encouragement. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And just a reminder, again, that a lot of times the devil can tempt us into condemnation, that we can feel condemned for our sins. We can feel like there's no way out. We can feel a deep sense of shame about who we are and not just of what we've done. And it's good to feel guilt. And guilt is conviction from God. But when we begin to feel shame and we begin to feel condemned and just like, I can never change, I'm so terrible, all this kind of stuff, that's from the evil one. And so Paul's saying there's no condemnation because you are in Christ Jesus. So what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? And why now is there no condemnation? He says this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And this is one of the verses that I had memorized a while back. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So there here is introduced a distinction between two laws. Up to this point, and on the show, we talked about the law. The law, the law, the law. What is the law? The law is given to, when you talk about the law is given to the Israelites, right? You have the Torah, you have the 613 commandments, all this kind of stuff. But then it's also the law that's written on the human heart. So you have the Mosaic law. And the Mosaic law is not bad. And Paul's not saying like the law is evil. The law is not good. But up until this point, they've been living by the law and trying to reach salvation by following the code of the Mosaic law to a T. And there's something really interesting, a really interesting principle here that Paul is telling us, that Jesus, and we know he says himself, I did not come to abolish the law. I did not come to fulfill it. And so the reality is, it's not like the Israelites were living under this Mosaic law and then Jesus comes and he's like, free for all, no law, I'm abolishing the law, like do whatever you want, or there's no rules, there's no all of these things. And there's this idea that Jesus kind of bucks this religious legalism and the law is gone because of Jesus. But Jesus says himself, I've come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And so Jesus doesn't say, oh, the law is bad, the law is terrible, but he brings a new law, because what we'll read next is that there's some things that the law could not do. So the law goes only to a certain place, but there's two laws at work in the human spirit. There's a law, kind of a spiritual law, that reigns over the earth because the world is in the hands of the devil, and that is the law of the flesh, the law of sin. The law of sin and death, that the ruling power over the earth without the freedom of the children of God brought about by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is a law of sin and death, that the human race in a particular way is governed by death. Is governed by sin. We see this in our world today. Yes, Jesus has come, but before his final return, the world is still in the hands of the enemy. And so for those who aren't living in submission to God, you see the law of sin and death at work. You see it working. You see it moving. Look out into the world. You see abortion, you see so much crime, you see men hating each other, you see corruption, horrible corruption in politics, that those who are meant to lead us and take care of us, there's corruption, there's stealing of money, all of these different kinds of things. You turn on the news and you see the governing principle without God, the governing law without God in the world is sin and ultimately death. The law of death, human beings cannot escape. without the person of Jesus. I remember when I was in college, I spent a summer working in Washington, D.C. at a couple different think tanks and political organizations, and I'd never even been to D.C. before, let alone worked in that world. And when I was in college, I got, you know, passionate about life issues and wanted to kind of be involved in that way. And so I moved out there and was doing some internships, and I was about to be a senior in college. And it was funny because I was so young and in some ways very naive. I wasn't even 21 yet, you know. And if you know anything about politics in D.C., so much happens not necessarily in people's offices, but over happy hour and over drinks. And I would be there in these meetings ordering like a Shirley Temple, you know. Just that shows you how naive I was to that whole world, you know. And I was 20 years old, and I remember being in D.C. and experiencing actually very tangibly, consistently, this law of sin and death that was ruling over the world, and that in particular was ruling over this place of power. I remember one time we had to lobby these senators and representatives concerning this one policy, and there was money going to abortion organizations that it wasn't supposed to be. So we lobbied these people to vote a particular way. And I remember they were like, yes, we're going to vote. But then some of them flipped on the vote. And my boss was like, go look up the donation records. And right before the vote, all of the people who flipped had gotten massive donations to their campaigns from Planned Parenthood. And it was like this, I'm just telling this specific story because it was like as a 20-year-old, I was like, I was seeing this law of sin at work in people who I do believe wanted to do the right thing, but the flesh was the governing factor. And for we can easily look at those people and be like, oh my gosh, so horrible. But without Jesus, for each and every one of us, the governing law is the flesh. The governing law is sin. When I'm not submitted to Jesus and allowing him to lead me and living in his spirit, I'm living in the old law, which is sin and death. So there's these two laws saying the governing power, the governing principle in the spirit of the human race without Jesus is the law of sin and death. But there's this other law, because remember, Jesus doesn't buck off laws. He's not like, oh, yeah, no, we don't need laws. That's so legalistic, all this kind of stuff. He's saying, I am bringing a new law. I'm not abolishing the law, but I'm fulfilling it. And in me, in the person of Jesus, comes a new law. A new law that fulfills the Mosaic law. A new law that is greater, more powerful than the law of sin and death that's governing the human race. And that law, Paul says, is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So while death reigns over the world, Jesus is saying in me, there's a new law, and that law is eternal life. That law is a spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, why is there no condemnation in Christ? Because the law of the spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. I was under the old law. I was under a different law. My flesh controlled me. My sin controlled me. Death, a spirit of death controlled us. But now that we are in Christ Jesus, the spirit of life, the law of the spirit of life in Christ, the Holy Spirit bringing life to Christ and life to us, sets us free. This is the new law, new life in Christ. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this new life, and we ask you to give us power to live in your new law. God bless. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.